Welcome, everybody, to Disney World A to Z. This is the podcast for all things Walt Disney World from A to Z. We'll take you through the magic alphabetically. I'm your host, Emma. So today I thought we would do a quick question and answer episode. It's been a while since we did one of those. There have been some really great questions in the Facebook group recently, so I thought it'd be fun to do a little roundup. Hopefully our listeners will also be curious about the same kind of things that we're chatting about in there. So this first question is from Elena. She says, "Hey guys, my husband and I would love your pros and cons opinions in order to help us choose between Port Orleans Riverside and Coronado Springs Resort for a trip this August. It'll just be the two of us." So I think normally I would say Riverside, without a doubt. That's my favorite moderate resort. I just think it's such a beautiful theming. I love the two halves. There's the alligator bayou that's kind of like the swamp. And then there's the, what's it called? It's like the Antebellum Mansions. Magnolia Bend, I'm pretty sure. They have the royal rooms that like Princess Tiana has decorated that have the light up headboards, which the theming in there is kind of on the level of a deluxe resort rather than a moderate resort. It's just such a beautiful room to stay in. And I love the food court. We sometimes will make a special trip to Riverside just for the food court. Old Man Island, the swimming pool is great. It's just a beautiful place. I love that one. You can hop on the boat and get to Downtown Disney, Disney Springs. Oh my gosh. When will I stop calling it Downtown Disney? I wonder. So normally I would say that. However, Coronado Springs has been undergoing a big renovation, and I believe it's due to be done in July 2019. I hope I'm not making that up. I'm pretty sure I saw that online when I just looked it up. So if you have already stayed at Riverside and you are curious about the new resort and have seen some of the construction pictures and are, you know, want to check it out, that's an idea. There's like a big giant new tower. So now they have lots of, I guess, indoor entry rooms, whereas before it was mostly, you know, the outdoor entry. Riverside is the outdoor entry from, you know, a hallway that's open to the air. And yeah, it looks pretty fancy. And there's like a new restaurant, I think, in the middle of the lagoon. What's that called? Logos? Dorados? Oh gosh, I'm butchering this, aren't I? Oh, I can't remember it. But yeah, so there's new stuff at Coronado. And I think it'll be pretty much finished by July. There might be some, I don't know, I feel like construction always kind of drags on. And sometimes there are remnants of it even after it's done. But I'd kind of like to see it. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the new structure. I feel like it just doesn't, like, match, you know, because the rest are all kind of low buildings, very colorful, very themed. This one, looking at some recent photos of it, it looks better than the concept art, but it still is kind of this high rise in the middle of the resort. But at the same time, I'm always interested to see new stuff when it opens. So that's kind of points in Coronado's favor. The thing about Coronado that I think is not quite as nice as Riverside is that you might get a much longer walk from the lobby. I don't know why, but I feel like we've never had a really long walk in Riverside. I think it's just a little bit maybe smaller or maybe more centralized, whereas at Coronado Springs, if you get all the way around on the other side of the lake, and I think the ranchos, it's like you might be near the pool. That is a cool pool at Coronado, the dig site with like the Mayan temple there, and like it has a really cool playground too with like a giant head. But so you might get on that side and then you're closer to the pool, but the lobby with the pepper market and the food court and check-in and, you know, the gift shop and everything is still going to be quite a walk. So I think like walking wise, you're likely to do better at Riverside than at Coronado. But Coronado's got the new stuff, so that's a good choice though. You can't go wrong either way. Let's see. Here is a picture from Steen, I hope I'm saying that correctly. She says they're visiting, second visit, first for her boyfriend, traveling from Europe. We have a few days outside Disney World in Florida where we'd like to see a bit of Florida. So if you had 2 to 3 days anywhere in Florida, where would you go? What would you see? There have been lots of great recommendations in the comments here. Cape Canaveral and the Kennedy Space Center. That is really cool. Of course, you can see like all the tour of the rocket ships and all that. We've done that. And then St. Augustine, that's a city in Florida. That's beautiful. It's historic, has this big giant fort and kind of old town that's really neat to walk around. Oldest town in the U.S. Let's see, the Gulf Coast, or a golf course, I suppose. The Gulf Coast, Miami, Space Center. There were a couple things I was going to mention. Oh, someone did mention here manatees, which we love, Blue Springs State Park. We've rented canoes there and things, and I know in the past they've had manatees there, and it was really cool one time. Like, the manatees were practically swimming right under us, under our canoes. But yeah, finding a place to rent a canoe and like just explore the Everglades is neat. And then there was this one place. Oh, I meant to look up the name of it. It was a pancake place. Okay, here we go. It's called the Old Spanish Sugar Mill. It's in De Leon Springs State Park. And basically, you sit at a table, and there's a grill in the middle of the table, and you can grill up your pancakes, like, right in front of you. Like, they bring you, you know, the batter. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. And then, of course, afterwards, you can explore the park. But yeah, that was a fun one. Cocoa Beach was also mentioned in here. That's a nice place. What's the famous pink hotel in Florida? It's the Don Cesar. We visited this once. It's a pink hotel. This is like the best Instagram hotel ever. It's not far outside of Tampa. But oh my gosh, it was pretty fun when we went there. It was just so exciting to see. And it's right along the beach. So you have beautiful, you can walk right out to the beach. Vero Beach, of course, is also super fun, and there's actually a Disney vacation resort there. Sometimes they have turtle eggs on the beach. It's a really beautiful beach, too. It's nice and quiet. It's not, like, super touristy, you know, with big high-rises. And there's turtle theming all kind of throughout the resort. We actually stayed there at New Year's a couple years ago, and it was so much fun. It was cold, sadly, in January, but it was still just so beautiful. And they have these little, like, cottages. I would love to stay at one of these at the Disney Vero Beach Resort that are, like, kind of right along the dunes. And they just looked so neat. We actually got upgraded on that trip to, like, kind of a fancier suite that was up pretty high, so we could see over the dunes out to the ocean and see the waves, and oh, so beautiful. So yeah, there's lots of good stuff to do in Florida outside of Disney World. So this next question is from Taylor. She says, I'm getting ready to plan a graduation trip for me and my three friends. We already know we are getting the 4-day park tickets, but I wanted to know if anyone has tips on best ways to save money in the parks. We've done a couple episodes in the past that are about, like, tips. I think that, like, tips for newcomers, we had some money saving tips, but we did do a budget episode a while ago. But yeah, there are a lot of good tips here in the Facebook group. Things like, look out for places where you can buy Disney gift cards, like Target, or I think Sam's Club. It looks like someone says Kroger will do this too. So if you buy the gift card, if you have, like, maybe a rewards card, like a Target card that gives you, like, 5% off, that percent off will generally count towards the gift card. Or maybe you can earn points towards it or something, but you just buy the gift cards, and then you'll use those gift cards to pay for your resort stay, pay for food, pay for tickets. So that's one good way. Trapper suggests bring food/snacks into the parks, especially if you aren't getting the dining plan. I probably wouldn't do the dining plan if I'm on a budget, because it is kind of expensive, and then I feel like so much of your time and energy goes into, like, making sure you're getting the full value of it, because it can come out well, you know, like, it can come out as a savings, but, like, you have to make sure you're kind of eating at the most expensive restaurants and buying the most expensive snacks. So I think it's easier to pay out of pocket. I think the food at Disney is so good and is such a highlight of the trip for me that I would sacrifice on other things before I sacrificed on that budget-wise. And I guess also I think that so much of the good food is, like, out and about, like snacks, and you know, you can order even off the kids' menu at some places. And so you don't need to do, like, the sit-down meals, because those are going to be expensive. You can just order a kid's meal or have a cupcake for lunch. You're on vacation. So, yeah, I think there are other ways to save money on food. You can also often just order, like, an entree without, like, the chips or the sides. So then it's about $2 cheaper. And same with water. We usually don't buy water bottles. We just get tap water at the restaurants. When it's hot out, they often even have tap water, like outside Pinocchio's Village. Village Haas or outside the different restaurants or even in the waiting areas, like if you're checking in for a sit-down meal, they'll have, just glasses of water that you can have. I have never minded the taste of Florida water. It's water. but if you do mind that, there was a good suggestion here that if you have Amazon Prime, you could order a case of water bottles to have shipped to your hotel. And Prime does deliver really quickly because, of course, buying water bottles in the park is going to be like the most expensive place to buy them. Depending on how many days your trip is and how you've split it up, I definitely think that kind of exploring the resorts and saving the cost of a park ticket can sometimes help too, because instead of, paying for a longer park ticket, you could buy a shorter park ticket and then just spend one of the days of your trip exploring the monorail line or hanging out at the Animal Kingdom Lodge or just resort hopping and visiting as many resorts as you can, because I think there's so much to see, especially the deluxe resorts. Even if you don't have the budget to stay at one of them, just visiting them, there are so many exhibits, so many beautiful places to hang out. Their, food courts have delicious things. Another suggestion in here was order the kids' meals. That is a great thing to do because especially at the counter service, they don't care if you're not a kid and you're ordering a kids' meal. They are totally fine with you doing that. At table service meals, it gets a little bit more awkward, but especially, at a counter service, they'll just sell you whatever you want. Carissa put in a poll for Boma or Ohana, which restaurant's food is better for dinner. The consensus was Boma, and I think I would have to agree with that. I think their buffet is just richer. Like, there's more options there, and everything is so exotic and delicious, and there are so many desserts. It's so fun to go up to that dessert buffet because there are usually like 12 different little beautiful bite-sized things. Ohana is delicious too, of course, but that's family style, so it's not quite as easy. You can't just get up and get more of what you want. You have to wait for the waiter to bring it to you. It is fun. They have like the giant skewers of different meats that they come and give you as much as you want. And of course, that bread pudding is delicious with the sauce for dessert, but I think overall there's more at Boma. So Brian asks, quick question. I've always had a family of four booking fast passes, but getting ready to book fast passes for a party of five. Would you recommend splitting up the five for better 60-day fast pass booking results, or is there just as good chances to get, for example, flights of passage with four as five? I would say definitely don't split it up. I think that especially if you're doing it 60 days out, you have just as good a chance. Really, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you had like a huge party of 12 or something, I don't know about that. But five versus four, I don't think is an issue at all. And especially since you have so much time, if you were like closer to the date and you weren't getting anything, then you could try. And I know things do sometimes disappear at 60 days, but four versus five, I don't think would be big enough of a difference. Oh, I like this from Megan. Watching some old home videos from 1996, also known as the year that Cinderella Castle was turned into a giant pink birthday cake for their 25th. Anyone remember that? The pink birthday cake, I feel like, is either loved or hated. Personally, I absolutely love it. I do remember it. I thought it was fantastic. I think it was just such an imaginative, cool thing to do. Like, why not turn the castle into a birthday cake for a year? If you haven't seen a picture of this, you'll have to Google it. And the castle is there every single year and looks the same every single year. And of course, you always love getting your picture and you want it, you want that kind of continuity. But for big occasions like the 25th or, when did they do the gold? Was that Walt's 100th birthday? They had like these gold characters like Peter Pan and Wendy were like flying around one of the spires. And that was kind of fun. I like it when they do things like that just to kind of plus it up and make it different every so often. I definitely am pro pink birthday cake. Daisy says, has anyone visited Trader Sam's with someone under 21? I know it has to be before 8, but I'm wondering if it was enjoyable. My siblings and I are taking a trip to Disney in May, and while my brother and I are both over 21, our sister is only 13, so I want to make sure she'd also have a good time. Thank you in advance for any advice. Yes, I would say it's definitely still fun. I went with my family, and my youngest brother is teenager, so not overage, can't drink. To be honest, none of us are big drinkers. We don't usually hang out at bars, but Trader Sam's is definitely no ordinary bar. It is so much fun, and there's so much to see, because there's like a little show that happens for almost every drink that gets ordered, and so you get to see that show not just for your own table, but for other tables. It is quite a small space, so definitely getting a table can be a little bit of a headache. I think we stood in line, that was probably a good hour. I can't remember now. It was, you'll see people standing in line at least an hour, sometimes more than an hour, waiting for them to open the doors. And then once they do open the doors, they give everyone a pager. And then when you go in, it's kind of a free for all. So you kind of get whatever table or whatever spot is open for your group. But once you're inside, it's very cozy. And like I said, all the shows are really fun and the theming is absolutely amazing. Everywhere you look, you're just surrounded by cool Jungle Cruise, you know, style Trader Sam's, tiki torches and all sorts of fun stuff. So I would definitely recommend it. And of course, there are lots of appetizers on the menu, and there are some non-alcoholic beverages as well. And I think they can actually make a lot of the beverages, like the alcoholic beverages, without alcohol. So if there was something that, like, some of the juice flavoring sounded really good, you could ask about that, because I think we might have done that for one of the beverages. But you can, of course, also get the food. So yeah, I think Trader Sam's is such a fun spot to try, even if you're not old enough to enjoy a alcoholic beverage yet. All right, so I have one last question here. Hi, Emma. I just booked my family's first trip with Club Level. I've been wanting to book Club ever since I started listening to the podcast, and it never really worked out for us. As luck would have it, they had a huge pass holder discount, a little more than half off, and I couldn't pass it up. That's totally the time to book Club. You never know when you're going to find it or like when the right dates will match up, but the discounts are out there. It looks like they'll be staying 4 days, 3 nights at the Kilimanjaro Club at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the question is there somewhere I can find usual food options? Thanks, Amy from Alabama. Well, Amy, I don't know of a place online where you can find the full menu. They kind of keep it on the DL, although I'm pretty sure it basically is the same menu week to week. So it varies like by day of the week. So Monday is usually the same selection. Tuesday is usually the same selection. I did try to Google it and I couldn't turn it up. And I also tried to look on the Diz, because I know on the Diz boards, often they have threads dedicated to just to each resort. And sometimes they have some more in-depth information. And sometimes like a guest will have called and like the cast at the Club Level will have given them the full menu and they'll have shared it on the Diz boards. But I couldn't find it there either. However, I did go back and look at some of my recent photos and videos. So here's what I found. Okay, so breakfast is called Miyamco. It runs from 7 to 10:30 a.m. They have quite a selection. They have chocolate chip muffins. Those are really good. They have croissants. They have bagels. They have fresh fruit. They have guava fans. My brother Athos always looks at the sign and says, "Hey, me too. I'm also a guava fan." They're really good, actually. Recently on a trip, they had biscuits and gravy. Isn't that crazy? So they have kind of been spicing it up with hot options. Oftentimes it's more of like a continental, I mean, a very good continental breakfast, but it doesn't like necessarily have eggs and bacon and stuff. But they had the biscuits and gravy one morning, and the next morning they had babochi. I don't know how to pronounce that. They have it down at Boma too. I think it's like eggs and meat kind of scrambled together. It's very nice, but yeah, cool that they're adding at least one hot option, it looks like, to the breakfast every day. And then they also have lots of fruits. They have nice meats and cheeses like prosciutto. So hey, you could make yourself a croissant or a bagel sandwich for later. And then of course they have juices, they have milk, they have coffee, they have a nice coffee machine, which is one of my favorite parts of staying Club Level, because you can basically make yourself as many lattes, as many cappuccinos as you want. Although one time it was actually at the Kilimanjaro Club and the machine had broken. And I guess they have like a contract with an outside vendor, and they had called, but like the vendor, you know, didn't have an opening or whatever, and we were only staying a night or two, and the stupid coffee machine was broken. The espresso machine was broken the entire time, which was very annoying. I'm kind of surprised, actually, they don't have an extra espresso machine in the back to bring out, you know, for a situation like this, because I'm pretty sure, like, with the landscaping, they usually say that for every plant you see, you know, out on stage, basically, there's a replacement, a duplicate of that plant off stage, so that if anything happens to the one, you know, out in the guest area, they can just whisk in and replace it. But anyway, hopefully that won't happen to you. And then pretty shortly after breakfast, starting at 11:30 and going till 3, they have Vitafunio. I hope I'm pronouncing these right. It's basically the afternoon snack offerings. So they have chocolate chip cookies. They have a sort of safari snacks, kind of build your own trail mix station. So nuts and pretzels. They also have jelly beans. They have chips. The chips are usually really good. They also have a tray of assorted breads and dips. And the dips last time were kind of amazing. They had coriander chutney yogurt, which was amazing. Bere goat cheese, but it wasn't like salad cheese. It was, you know, a dip. Sogdal ranch. They also, I saw in my pictures, had a watermelon tomato salad one day out during afternoon snacks, which I would not have even remembered if I hadn't seen the photo. So, and again, like that's one of the things, some of the things are kind of constant every single day, like the chips and the different breads and dips and the cookies, but other things like that watermelon tomato salad, that might change out every day. And like at the breakfast, the biscuits and gravy changes out with the bibochi, but the other things stay pretty much the same. And then you do have tea. So tea time starts at 3:30, I think. What time? Chai is from 3 to 4 p.m. And that's basically when they bring out the sweet things. So they have brownies and Rice Krispie treats. And of course, like the tea and coffee are out basically all day. There's a fridge with cold beverages, you know, soda pops. And if there's ever something not in the fridge, you can usually ask the cast members and they'll go in the back and grab it for you. 5 o'clock is when dinner starts. The evening offer is kisikusiku. I love that they give the different offerings at the different times of day different names because it just makes it more festive. They have some things that repeat every single night, so lots of different crudité, veggies, asparagus, they have olives, they have lots of really interesting kinds of hummus. I'm pretty sure they had a coriander hummus that was really good. Lots of different dips, lots of cheeses. I was looking at one of my videos and the names of these cheeses are crazy. So one of them was called Barely Buzzed and it was espresso and lavender, hand-rubbed cheese with subtle notes of butterscotch and caramel. I wonder if like cheese descriptions is like a specific job that you have to like train for to become a cheese description writer, like a coffee description writer maybe. They actually have a little dish of honeycomb, which is fun. So they have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the kids. They had watermelon and apple slices and probably a cup of caramel to dip it in with. That's kind of a staple of all the club lounges, like caramels, apple slices and caramel. And then they did also have a hot offering for the kids. One night it was chicken nuggets. Another night it was corn dog nuggets. And then they have several very exotic different changing options. They're always kind of reminiscent of Bomo or Jiko. There's usually a little stand with a chef off to the side who's dishing things up hot. So if there's a soup, it's like they'll dish it up nice and hot right there in front of you. And then there is often like a cold salad or two. So from my photos, I noticed there was a Tunisian couscous salad one night. There was a coconut curry sauce over saffron rice. There was a shellfish little dish. And you can go back up to get as many of these as you want. They always have enough for everybody. They are pretty small, like kind of individual snack size portions. There was one night where they had a very exotic looking macaroni and cheese little dish. They had a mushroom couscous. They had the shellfish one night. And then of course there's dessert. That's Rahema, which goes from 8 to 10 p.m. They do usually bring out the things from the afternoon tea, so like the brownies and Rice Krispie treats and the cookies, but then they also have some tasty things. They have, in the past, they've had mini cheesecake, they've had chocolate mousse cups, they had a passion fruit mousse cup, which was really good. Years ago, they used to have like kind of the same exact desserts that you saw at Boma, and I feel like these days, I don't know why, I guess the chefs have decided to switch it up, but usually the club level desserts are not quite the same as what you see at Boma. For example, I have not seen a zebra dome for years in the club level, but the things that you do find are still delicious. You definitely will not be hungry staying at the club level. All right, so I know this was kind of a quick episode, but I thought it'd be fun to chat through some of the questions. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll leave a link to the Facebook group in the description if you'd like to check that out. I'll also leave a link to the podcast social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm Bookish Princess. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a magical day.